Matthew chapter 14. Not going to be a gloomy day, even though it's a gloomy world. This is about what the message is about. Maybe this message will help you. Matthew chapter 14. Amelia asked me last week about Peter. She'd been reading about Peter and denying. And I thought, well, we're not going to be in any hurry to get through this little thing about this ship event, this storm event. There's a lot here. So today we want to look at just verse 30. Peter had jumped, you know, they had seen the Lord last week. They thought he was a ghost, thought he was a figment. And then when Peter realized it, he said, in verse 28, he said, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. Not in the water, on the water. And the Lord said, come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, he prayed, this is a prayer, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. It's a three-word prayer. But when you sort of look at it, examine it, look at all the characteristics it contains, all the truth that's there, it's an all-encompassing prayer. It could be used for believers for most all their needs. Think about it. What could you pray more than, Lord, save me, for any need that you've got? And for unbelievers, if they're sincere, who've never prayed at all, can pray this prayer. Lord, save me. Save me. That doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. An unconverted man can, if he's sincere, just say, Lord, save me. Where does he need to do it? Anywhere. Where was Peter? Where did Peter pray this? In the sea. Wasn't that a place of worship, was he? Wasn't that a place set aside for private prayer? He was in the midst of great danger and probably one of those moments, he probably had others, we all do, probably one of those moments when his faith was just at the very bottom. Lord, save me. You know, it's good to pray with God's people. We do. And it's good to pray privately in a controlled setting. Most folks have a certain spot that they pray most every day. That's a controlled setting, a private place. Places that are set aside are good. It's good. It's good to pray privately. But we shouldn't become slaves to a habit. We hear that a lot of times. He's become a slave to a habit. And we catch ourselves in a lot of things. We just do them without thinking, don't we? Our whole days, I'm terrible about it. I'm a slave to habits. I get up a certain time every morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock. It doesn't matter if I go to bed at 2 o'clock. I'm going to wake up and that's it. It's done. And we just, I'm a control guy. I mean, it's got to be bam, bam, bam. Girls get aggravated with me and their mother sometimes about planning too much. I got a plan, though. I can't function without a plan. So all habits are not bad. So there can be some controlled habits that are good. But don't become a slave to this thing on prayer. Don't think you can only pray in one or two spots. Fact is, Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 29:13, he can be found of those who seek him anywhere, anytime, any. He can be found. What the prophet says. So we may pray at any time or any place. Now, if you ever find yourself in a place or a time that you can't pray, then maybe don't ever go back to that place again. Right? Maybe in the wrong place. You say, Lord, I can't pray in here. Maybe don't need to go back there. But otherwise, I ought to be able to pray any time or place, right? And I said, this habit, which is not bad, of daily prayer, we don't abandon that. This message is not about abandoning daily prayer. Believers grow in grace as they grow in prayer. And we pray about many things, and that's good, not just certain circumstances. So pray, 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 pray. When you can't feel or think, which is me a lot of times, I don't feel like praying. I can't think about what to pray. Sometimes I sit and I can't even think. And I feel like it's a jumbled mess that's coming out of my mouth. But don't quit. Don't quit. Pray anyway. If you can't think or feel, write it down. Write it down. I've said before, I remember when I worked at the Cochran's there, Miss Cochran, Steve's mom, she had a prayer list. She had it beside where she's... I think that's a good thing. So don't abandon that matter of privacy and the habit. Maybe it needs to be a habit. Make it a habit. Sometimes, like I say, pray when you don't feel like it. Don't quit. Scripture tells us, though, to pray without ceasing, and this is what this is going to be about. There's a way to do that, and I think believers already know that they do. Should Peter have prayed before he jumped into the water? Now, the commentators are sort of split on the need for him to have even done that. So maybe he should have prayed first, that for faith to believe and not prove our Lord. I don't know. So, but yeah, he should have prayed, maybe. But was it too late for him to pray while he was sinking? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's never too late, is it? Cry to God in spite of the circumstances, in the circumstances, through the circumstances. Who sent those circumstances? God did, didn't he? Unsaved, ungodly, unconverted, pray for them. Pray for them. As long as there's breath, it's not too late. Don't quit praying. Pray for them. There's breath, there's hope, someone said. Simple prayers. Just simple prayers is what we're talking about. Lord, save me. There's another simple prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Simple prayers. This prayer, Peter's, let's look at it. It's simple, it's humble, it's natural. Just natural. It's the first thing he thought. Lord, save me. That was his biggest need right then. It's a natural prayer. Here's the first thing. It was very brief. Three words. Brevity of prayer seems to be consistent through the Scripture. Those that are listed, those that are given to us. And God inspired this word. Nehemiah's prayer at the temple, chapter 9 of Nehemiah, was about, if you just sit and read it, and they say this was probably the longest prayer in the Bible, if you just sit and read it naturally, slowly, it takes about 7 minutes to read his prayer. Solomon's prayer at the temple in 1 Kings 8 was about 6 minutes. Our Lord's prayer in John chapter 17 is about 5 minutes. And then everything else seems to be shorter than that. All other recorded prayers in the Scripture are less than that, less than 5 minutes. How long does it take to say, Lord, save me? Less than a second? No more than a second. But, you know, when we know, we're not saying that, you know, we come in here on Sundays, and especially Wednesday nights, you've got those petitions that are offered, and we want to mention it. We do. We want to mention. We want to let everybody. Sometimes I'll leave, and I'll think, shoot, I forgot Cheryl had said so-and-so, or I forgot Shirley said something. Just forget, don't we? Thank the Lord, he don't forget. Wait for you. But so though public service prayers are going to be longer, we understand that. We're not disdaining any type of prayer in our services. But I've heard men pray. I've heard preachers pray. And they feel like they missed their chance to preach, so they're going to make it up in the prayer that somebody calls on them. Folks used to come in here when I was a kid, Ronnie, preachers, and I knew Dale was going to call on them, and I thought, because you want to get outside and play, about Paul's age and down. And I thought, here it goes. This guy's going to pray for 20 minutes, and they would sometimes. They feel like they got to teach the Lord theology, don't they? Have you ever noticed it? They bring up all 5 points of Calvin. They bring up all the terms, righteousness, sanctification, all that. They got to get all that in. They're not impressing the Lord, and they're wearying the people in the congregation. They tell stories. Men tend to tell stories in their prayers also that the Lord already knows. You ain't got to rehash the story. The Lord knows the story. Be brief. Just tell Him what's on your heart. Somebody said, I just don't have time to pray. Well, maybe you're praying too long. Maybe the prayers are too long. In the morning, just wake up and say, Lord, guide us. You know, or take His disciples' prayer. That's a good one. Just go through it in your mind and think about and apply it to you. That's brief, but it covers everything. Lord, guide us. Keep us safe. And then in the evening, what do you say? Thank you. We had Jacks for a couple of days, and kids are just simple, aren't they? A while ago, they were back there in the study, Jackson and Emma. They were talking about who God was and where God is. And Emma said, God's there. He's invisible. He's invisible. I'm telling Jax, He's everywhere. He's just invisible. But we got Jax. Asked Jax the other night if he wanted to say the blessing. He said, sure. You know how Jax says, sure. He said, Lord, thank you for our food. For Mommy, Daddy, and Remy, and be with Grandma. In Jesus' name, amen. What was on his mind? That's enough. It pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Listen to did the Lord put an adult in his lap and say, look at this adult and be like it? Or did he put a kid up in his lap? Watch the kids. Watch these kids. Think. Here's another thing about prayer. Think before you pray. Just as you're there in the mornings or in the evenings, just think. That's praying also. Think about it. Think before you pray. Know your needs in your mind. Know your condition. And then your prayers will, because that's already communion with the Lord, then your prayers will be pretty concise, short. And if a man wants to pray for an hour, that's between him and the Lord. But sometimes I think I do and have felt guilty because I don't pray like others. Well, I never will, probably. I've never been a very, charismatic person. Just, I'll talk. Won't I talk, Ronnie? I'll talk, but I don't. I just soon listen to somebody talk too. Doesn't matter to me. So, would it be my natural tendency to pray shorter or longer? See, don't try to adjust your personality to somebody else's in prayer. Here's the second thing. Or Peter, it's a comprehensive prayer. I'm sorry. Second thing is, it was a comprehensive prayer. What I'm saying is this prayer could be used as long as Peter lived. You know, not too many days down the road, the scripture says of Peter that Satan desired to sift him. Well, Peter could have said, Lord, save me, right? And then as he stood there in those outer courts after he had denied and was crying, you reckon he could have said, Lord, save me? And then when he started preaching the gospel, and every time they put him in prison, could he have said, "Lord, save me"? Then they crucified him. Could he have said then, "Lord, save me. Save me from the fear that's coming. Save me from the fear. Let me be a good witness as they do this. Lord, save me." So see, it could, his whole lifetime, that same prayer could have been sufficient. It's comprehensive, wasn't it? Could be used as long as he lived. And that suits us well, don't it? If we prosper in a business or prosper in our job, just say, "Save me. Save me from pride. Save me from all that accompanies having more than just my bills paid. The coldness that comes in religion, the temptations that come with these things, save me." Or if we're poor, say, "Lord, save me. Save me from the envy that comes with being poor, envying those around me, and the anger and the jealousy that comes with that." If we're in trials, say, "Lord, save me. Save me. Save me from despair." And then when we're up on the mountaintop out of that trial, say, "Lord, save me from being complacent." You're going through a temptation, say, "Lord, save me. Save me. Save me from sin. Save me from that separation from you." And then you can add others to those things. "Lord, save my kids. I see them going through this right now. Save them. Keep them. I see it. I've been there and I know what they're going through." Kim and I do that. We see things with our girls and their husbands that we've been through. And it worries us sometimes. "Lord, save them. Keep them. We ain't got it. We don't bring you in counsel, you do you? Save them. Keep them. Dangerous. Walking on slippery ground. Our grandkids, as they get older, Lord, save them. Save them. Fix to go through some things. We've been there. Save them." It still can be, see how comprehensive, not only did it work my lifetime, it works for my kids' lifetime and my grandkids' lifetime. And then thirdly, it's direct. He didn't have time. Peter didn't have time for a lengthy title, did he? Sometimes we get, and we understand what I'm saying. We want to approach the right way. So we get, want to be with so respectful how we approach our Lord. So we think, but he didn't have time for a lengthy title. He didn't have time to form the approach right. Or he didn't have time to bring his other needs in. He said, "Lord, save me from drowning. This is my need." He didn't say, "Our Father in heaven, in Christ's name, we come to you." You know how we do, and that's good. Sometimes we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that encompassing all of our other needs. We've got one thing on our mind, and we need to get it out right now. The need of the moment. The need of the moment. He didn't explain the situation. Sometimes we tend to do that in prayer, don't we? Explain the situation. But the Lord put you there. He knows the situation. We ain't got to explain all that to Him. He knows it. Just be direct. "Lord, save me." The Lord knew what situation He was in. He saw it, didn't He? He didn't say, "Lord, I jumped out of this boat, you know, took three steps, I looked around, saw that." He didn't say all that. He just said, "Lord, save me." Once again, we tend to overform our prayers, don't we? Overform our approach. We talk, we explain things. And I do. I do it myself, not wanting to be disrespectful. But what's the old saying? Fools rush in where angels dare to tread. That's what, and we're aware of that. We don't want to do that. That's not what we want to do. But I think we can do both. We can do it not only for ourselves, this directness, but for the needs of others. If we know their needs, D up there now. Just I pray every morning, just give him. I wrote him a text last week, and And I told him, I said, I got a friend whose dad, when you ask his dad, "How are you? How are you doing?" Always the response is hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit. And I said, "That's a primitive way of what I do for you every day. Just, Lord, give Dee and the family grace to just hang in there. Hang in there. Dee don't need to know any more than that. And the Lord don't need to know any more than that, right?" And then I thought, this second part of this directness is in matters of personal sin and wrongs that we do. We're often not direct there, and that's the place we should be most. Because we're not going to fool the Lord, so when we beat around the bush about what we've sinned in, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. Just say, "Lord, I did whatever you did, forgive me. And make me stronger in that area." But don't beat around the bush. Don't explain why you did it. Just, you did it. You did it. You know, we tell our kids not to do all that, and then we approach the Lord making excuses for why we do something. Just, "I did it." Let our prayers for ourselves and others, but especially ourselves, and the confessions are wrong, just be straight and to the point. Just be straight. We can't say this enough. We respect and honor God because He is holy and He demands respect. And we owe Him that. But be humble and sincere and honest with Him as well. And that usually don't take a lot of words, does it? We know what we need. We know what we've done. We know what we should do. And we know the demands of God. And that ought to just about make it pretty concise when we go to Him. And then the fourth thing about this short prayer of Peter's is sound doctrine. He didn't make any attempt to save himself, it doesn't appear. He was drowning. He said, "Lord, save me." You feel the need, you cry for help. That's what he did, isn't it? And it's whether initial salvation or daily salvation. At Isaiah 12:3, I think it was. Those wells of salvation, 12:13 maybe. Well, it was 3, wasn't it? The wells of salvation. That's daily salvation. There's more than one well. There's more than one time we came to our Lord for salvation. It's always there for the taking, isn't it? So this works. It's sound. Just don't do it on your own. You know, that's another thing we teach our whole life. We've been taught to be self-sufficient and don't ask and don't. And it's hard to change that in it. We're raised that way, and that's a good way. I wish there were more kids being raised that way now, but it's a good way. But not when it comes to the Lord. We don't try anything on our own. We immediately ask the Lord, "Save me. Help me. You do it. I can't. I cannot. I can't. You must." That saved us from a lot of difficulties, wouldn't it? Trying to fix things on our own. They bring feelings and they bring merits, but they leave off faith and belief when they pray. I'm talking about initial salvation and as they go through life. Many try to reform or start a new life, or instead of, "Lord, I'm nothing, I have nothing, it's all you. It's all you. Save me. You save me. You save me. It's your power. It's your blood. It's your merits. It's your righteousness. It's your sanctification. Lord, you must. I can't save myself. I can't even tread water in this matter of salvation." Right? We can't. Men think they do. Wish we could get that across to them. You can't. You got no hope on your own. All salvation is all of grace. And where is all of grace? Where's grace? It's all in Christ, isn't it? And then fifth thing is this prayer of Peter's. It's a personal prayer. "Lord, save me." I tell you, if you're ever hungry or ever scared of something, I'm talking about in just normal life, you ever get hungry, if you're ever afraid, you'll get selfish, won't you? You do. We saw just a glimpse of that when that first COVID came out, didn't we? I told you, I'll never forget. We finished supper. I said, let's don't even do dishes. I said, we'll come back and do them. I got a feeling that this thing, people are going to panic. And I'll be doggone, we got to Food Depot. That's the closest grocery store to our Food Depot in Carrollton. And man, it was packed. There were lines backed all the way down the aisles. People get hungry, they get sad, they get concerned about themselves. Well, here you are. You know, when I was one of the first things that they taught in the water class, water rescue classes, is don't you ever jump in the water after somebody, ever, that's drowning. You go in with a flotation device. Somebody like Ellie there will drown you. They'll drown a man because they're desperate. They'll climb on top of your head to get out of the water. They'll drown you. And that's what Peter said. It was personal to him. Lord, save me. Not my brother. What's the song say? Not my brother, not my sister. It's me needing something. I'm standing in need. Save me. You know, you see this all through the Psalms. Let me show you a few. Just starting right there in Psalm 51. I mean, there's not many places you turn in the Psalms that you don't find it. David, Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God. Verse 2, wash me. Chapter 54, save me, O God. Hear my prayer, O God. It's on and on. Chapter 55, give ear to my prayer. 56, be merciful unto me. 57, be merciful unto me. 59, deliver me. 61, hear my cry. See? David took it personally. It's a personal thing. Save me. Peter said, save me. I guess he wasn't concerned about the others. Save me. When I was a kid growing up, I know a lot of folks prayed for me. But I had to pray for me, right? Their prayers didn't do a bit of good as far as my settling with the Lord. I had to pray for me. Salvation is a personal matter. Relationship to Christ is a personal thing. You must believe. You must repent. You must have faith. You must pray. Lord, save me. And then sixthly, finally, it was an effectual prayer. Lord, Peter said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me in verse 30. In verse 31, our Lord, what does it say? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. It was brief, it was comprehensive, direct, sound doctrine, personal. And it got our Lord's attention immediately. He didn't let him flounder a little bit to teach him a lesson. Immediately he reached out his hand and caught him. So take comfort in Peter's circumstances, you for yourself. Was he in trouble? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Are we in trouble? Yes, we are. A lot of times we get in trouble. Was his prayer a mixture of unbelief and faith? So are mine. So are mine. But there was faith, it says, don't it? Because what does he say there? He says in verse 31, he said, oh, you of little faith. But there was faith. There was faith. And that certainly is me. That's everybody, I think. You know, Elijah prayed that powerful prayer in 1 Kings chapter 18 and brought down fire from heaven. But not long after that, you find him asking the Lord, am I the only one left? And are you going to let me die? See, we're all that way. But always remember this, it's not us. It's not us. It's who's praying for you. That's the thing. Who prays for us? Our Lord takes our prayers. He mends them and adds the merit of His blood to them. He presents them to the Father. So You won't even recognize them. A primitive example, we used to, at the fire department, we'd sit around, there'd be 8-10 of us in a room. Rod's familiar with this. Coming up with grant requests for the federal government. We'd write to them, you figure 8 men, relatively, I mean, sure we're from Douglas County, but we're relatively smart. But you'd think we'd come up, they get turned down. We found out there's a grant writer out there who knows exactly how and what to ask. Well, our Lord, isn't it? He knows exactly what we need and how to ask it, and He cleans all of our stumbling things up, and He presents them perfect to the Father. And I always forget who He presents them to, not God, He presents them to our Father. We're children as well, right? Our brother takes them to our Father through the merits of His blood. Do you think the Father's going to turn any of that down? No, no. Just be sincere. That's what He's looking for, sincerity, honesty. So go home and think about this. You're troubled if you got doubts and sins and Satan's bother you or self is bothering you. Just say, Lord, save me. Whenever it comes, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Save me. Save me not for my sake. I'm worthless. Save me for Your Son's sake. Save me for Christ's sake. Okay.